Cover me, Wax said softly.
With what? She asked. Paint? Kisses? You're already covered with dust.
Wax raised an eyebrow at her.
Sorry, she said, grimacing. I've been playing cards too much with Wayne lately.
He snorted and ran in a crouch to the fallen corpse and rolled it over. The man had been a cruel-faced fellow with several days of stubble on his cheeks. The bullet wound bled out on his right side.
I think I recognize him,
Wax thought to himself as he went through the man's pockets and came out with a drop of red glass, colored like blood. He hurried back to the fence.
Well?
Lessie asked.
Donald's crew, Wax said, holding up the drop of glass. Bastards, Lessie said. They couldn't just leave us to it, could they?
You did shoot his son, Lessie.
And you shot his brother.
Mine was self-defense.
Mine was, too, she said. That kid was annoying. Besides, he survived.
Missing a toe.
You don't need 10, she said. I have a cousin with 4. She does just fine.
She raised her revolver, scanning the empty town.
Of course, she does look kind of ridiculous.
Cover me. With what? She just grinned and ducked out from behind the cover, scrambling across the ground toward the smithy. Harmony, Wax thought with a smile. I love that woman.
He watched for more gunmen, but Lessie reached the building without any further shots being fired.
Wax nodded to her, then dashed across the street toward the hotel. He ducked inside, checking the corners for foes. The tap room was empty, so he took cover beside the doorway, waving toward Lessie. She ran down to the next building on her side of the street and checked it out.
Donald's crew.
Yes, Wax had shot his brother. The man had been robbing a railway car at the time. From what he understood, though, Donald hadn't ever cared for his brother. No, the only thing that riled Donald was losing money, which was probably why he was here. He'd put a price on Bloody Tan's head for stealing a shipment of his Bend alloy. Donald probably hadn't expected Wax to come hunting Tan the same day he did, but his men had standing orders to shoot Wax or Lessie if seen. Wax was half tempted to leave the dead town and let Donald and Tan have at it. The thought of it made his eye twitch, though. He'd promised to bring Tan in. That was that. Lessie waved from the inside of her building, then pointed toward the back. She was going to go out in that direction and creep along behind the next set of buildings. Wax nodded, then made a curt gesture. He tried to hook up with Wayne and Barl, who had gone to check the other side of the town. Lessie vanished, and Wax picked his way through the old hotel toward a side door. He passed old, dirty nests made by both rats and men. The town picked up miscreants the way a dog picked up fleas. He even passed a place where it looked like some wayfarer had made a small fire pit on a sheet of metal with a ring of rocks. It was a wonder the fool hadn't burned the entire building to the ground. Wax eased open the side door and stepped into an alleyway between the hotel and the store beside it. The gunshots earlier would have been heard, and someone might come looking. Best to stay out of sight. Wax edged around the back of the store, stepping quietly across the red clay ground. The hillside here was overgrown with weeds except for the entrance to an old cold cellar. Wax wound around it, then paused, eyeing the wood-framed pit.
Maybe.
He knelt beside the opening, peering down. There had been a ladder here once, but it had rotted away. The remnants were visible below in a pile of old splinters. The air smelled musty and wet, with a hint of smoke. Someone had been burning a torch down there. Wax dropped a bullet into the hole, then leaped in, gun out. As he fell, he filled his iron metal mind, decreasing his weight. He was twin-born, a ferrochemist as well as an allomancer. His allomantic power was steel-pushing, and his ferrochemical power, called skimming, was the ability to grow heavier or lighter. It was a powerful combination of talents. He pushed against the round below him, slowing his fall so that he landed softly. He returned his weight to normal, or, well, normal for him.
He often went about at three-quarters of his unadjusted weight, making himself lighter on his feet, quicker to react. He crept through the darkness. It had been a long, difficult road, finding where Bloody Tan was hiding. In the end, the fact that Feltrell had suddenly emptied of other bandits, wanderers, and unfortunates had been a major clue. Wax stepped softly, working his way deeper into the cellar. The scent of smoke was stronger here, and though the light was fading, he made out a fire pit beside the earthen wall. That, and a ladder that could be moved into place at the entrance. That gave him pause. It indicated that whoever was making their hideout in the cellar, it could be Tan or it could be someone else entirely, was still down here. Unless there was another way out. Wax crept forward a little farther, squinting in the dark. There was light ahead. Wax cocked his gun softly, then drew a little vial out of his mist cloak and pulled the cork with his teeth. He downed the whiskey and steel in one shot, restoring his reserves. He flared his steel. Yes, there was metal ahead of him, down the tunnel. How long was this cellar? He had assumed it would be small, but the reinforcing wood timbers indicated something deeper, longer, more like a mine at it. He crept forward, focused on those metal lines. Someone would have to aim a gun if they saw him, and the metal would quiver, giving him a chance to push the weapon out of their hands. Nothing moved. He slid forward, smelling musty, damp soil, fungus, potatoes left to bud. He approached a trembling light, but could hear nothing. The metal lines did not move. Finally, he got close enough to make out a lamp hanging by a hook on a wooden beam near the wall. Something else hung at the center of the tunnel. A body? Hanged? Wax cursed softly and hurried forward, wary of a trap. It was a corpse, but it left him baffled. At first glance, it seemed years old. The eyes were gone from the skull, the skin pulled back against the bone. It didn't stink and wasn't bloated. He thought he recognized it. Jorman, the coachman who brought mail into Weathering from the more distant villages around the area. That was his uniform, at least, and it seemed like his hair. He'd been one of Tan's first victims, the disappearance that sent Wax hunting. That had only been 2 months back. He's been mummified, Wax thought. Prepared and dried like leather. He felt revolted. He'd gone drinking with Jorman on occasion, and though the man cheated at cards, he'd been an amiable enough fellow. The hanging wasn't an ordinary one either. Wires had been used to prop up Jorman's arms, so they were out to the sides, his head cocked, his mouth pried open. Wax turned away from the gruesome sight, his eye twitching. Careful, he told himself. Don't let him anger you. Keep focused. He would be back to cut Jorman down. Right now he couldn't afford to make the noise. At least he knew he was on the right track. This was certainly Bloody Tan's lair.